Want to create your very own podcast to promote you and your business? Learn how you can become a rockstar podcaster in 30 days or less. Just visit howdoicreateapodcast.com. That's howdoicreateapodcast.com. And right now, I mean, TikTok is hot. A TikTok, as long as it's around, it's very hot, right? And I do love, you know, I mean, Facebook is good for like your aunts and uncles and, you know, your cousins and all that stuff. But getting new people and there's an energy about TikTok, right? It's kind of like the Wild Wild West in many respects. And there's a lot of junky stuff on there, but there's a lot of really good stuff.
Welcome to Out of the Box with Christine. Are you willing to step into your greatness? Are you ready to shine? Well, get ready, Truth Seeker. You're in for an amazing ride. And now, here's the host of the show, Christine Blasdell.
Welcome back to Out of the Box with Christine. I am your host, Christine Blasdell, your expert authority podcast coach. And I am super stoked because I have a fellow podcaster on the show today. But more importantly, I have someone who is going to get you real excited about AI. And no, it's not like a Terminator movie. Not the world is not going to end tomorrow, but how amazing the tools are that are available to us as creators, producers, authors. And I'm super excited to have on the show Tom Morkus, who is the founder and CEO of Insurgent Publishing. He's an author of several books. And he's also the co-founder of one of my favorite institutions around, infostack.io, and is the host of the podcast In the Trenches. So welcome, Tom, to Out of the Box with Christine.
Christine, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, my fellow podcaster, fellow author, fellow AI enthusiast. It's such a, I was just, before we started recording, we were talking about some of the amazing technology that's available to us. And I think we've, because things are coming at us so quickly with AI, a lot of people are not, they just think it's ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just ChatGPT, is it? Is it, Tom?
No, I mean, that's a good starting point, though, I think, for a lot of people to kind of dabble, you know, dip their toes in and test it out and see if it can do anything for you. I think that's where I started. And then since then, you know, beginning with queries and using it like Google, like I think most people do, and then realizing the output is kind of funny or strange. And then you try to use it on practical tasks and you're like, oh, this doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But then coming back to it, I just kind of consistently started kind of coming back to it and testing things. And so for me, it was kind of an intuitive progression from being very skeptical of this, just think it's another hype bubble in the tech space, to now I have ChatGPT and a few other AI tools that I use just about every day because they're so practical and helpful, which is pretty wild to say. Like in the same way that I use Google or a search engine every day, I'm using some sort of AI every day now.
Wow. And we have been using AI for a while, but I think many of us didn't know it. You know, just forms, different forms of it. We didn't know. When you go on TikTok or Facebook and you stop at a video for a couple seconds and you look at it, there's an algorithm. There's AI. There's technology that is going, she likes little kittens that are silly and playful. So guess what? We're going to feed her more of those little kitten videos, right?
Yes.
So and there's a whole bunch of different applications, different things that happen for us. What are some other things? Because we know we talked about ChatGPT, and we're going to come back around to that because it is sort of, I think it is, it's the entry, it's the gateway drug to AI. But what are some other things that you use quite regularly that involve AI?
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple of tools that I use that I like. The free ones are Perplexity AI. It's like a search engine, an AI search engine, and I use it. I'm using that like all the time now when writing articles, because it does, like a lot of these tools you'll see do very specific things. Like I'm still waiting, and maybe we're a few years out. Like I eventually want ChatGPT or something like that to do all of the things for me,
yes.
But they're limited in certain things. So I go to ChatGPT and I can iterate on content ideas pretty quickly. It can help me with titles. It can help me with descriptions. I can give it information and it can summarize it for me, or it could spit it out into bullet point format. So there's a lot of ways to repackage and repurpose content with ChatGPT. Perplexity's specialty is it's basically a search engine, an AI search engine. And what I really love about it is it gets me all the information right away that I have to go scroll through Google, get through the sponsored ads, and then click through links to then find the information. And Google's trying to compete in that space with these little snippets, but it's not very helpful. What Perplexity does is it'll actually summarize the answer to your question, and then it'll give you links to where that information's coming from. So immediately it cuts down like half it is almost like a 10x when it comes to research. And now granted, I'm not saying it's perfect, but like if you just, I was just working on an article about the Tesla launch of the Cybertruck. So I wanted to pull some stats around the pre-sales numbers. And again, that came up immediately and gave me all the links to that for the Model 3, the Cybertruck, all these different things just right away. So again, it would have taken maybe that only would have taken me 10, 15 minutes, but now it's taken me seconds. And so again, there's it's pretty significant time saving when you start to apply some of these things.
And what other tools? Because I know it's not just Perplexity, it's something else you use.
Yeah. Well, I definitely use a lot of these tools the AI components are in the tools we already use. So Christine, I don't know if you use, but like Canva.
Yes.
Or something like that. You know, yes. I'm a Canva fan.
Same here. And for so many years, I mean, free. Yeah. It's free. You know, you can get the advanced version, which I do, which I have. But it's a great tool.
Yeah. And I'm happy to what I pay. I don't know if it's like 10 bucks a month or something like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those tools where I'm like, I get my money's worth out of this.
Yeah.
But I like, so they have some of their little AI features built in. So I like that. I also use for my podcast, I use to help with the content descriptions and some of the items around the podcast for like publishing on my site, I use Cast Magic, which I found is actually pretty solid. Again, the work to get to that rough draft would have taken minutes or hours, you know, or we'll say maybe an hour. And now you have a rough draft that's actually not bad in like minutes. And then you can just quickly edit. And so again, just the collapsing of timeframes here is really significant and especially useful for those of us who are like solopreneurs, solo creators who I have a team on the InfoStack side, but like even then it's like, I don't want to have my people working like random small odd jobs for me, but that's where AI comes in. Like it really helps in this capacity that didn't really exist before. These like LLM chatbot things before those existed and now they're here. So it's pretty cool.
One of the tools that I have, and actually I'm going to be speaking about this at the AI summit that's coming up, and we're going to let people know how they can get involved and how they can check it out. But one of the things that I use, because I have so many long format video content, right? And right now, I mean, TikTok is hot. A TikTok, as long as it's around, it's very hot, right? And I do love, you know, I mean, Facebook is good for like your aunts and uncles and, you know, your cousins and all that stuff. But getting new people and there's an energy about TikTok, right? It's kind of like the Wild Wild West in many respects. And there's a lot of junky stuff on there, but there's a lot of really good stuff. Incredibly talented people. But what I have is I have lots of long format video. So from podcasts like this, where I have an interview with someone and you're going to say something amazing, or we're going to laugh about a joke that's really hilarious. I have all this long format video content from my podcast, from webinars, workshops. I've done workshops for groups of people. So I've got hours and hours of content. And what I use now is an incredible tool called Vidyo.ai, Vidyo.ai. And this puppy, first of all, they give you like 75 minutes free a month. Okay. So if you're clever, you don't just put a, like an hour long video up and say, you know, do your thing. I'll sometimes chop it up. But you throw in your long format video, and in seconds, it takes it and it picks highlights. Highlights that you didn't even know existed, but it takes little highlights. Not only does it cut up the little highlights, it puts it in vertical. It can put it in whatever format you want, but it can put it in vertical format. If it's you and me, it'll take this horizontal video and it'll have me on top, like on a box, and you on underneath, but it takes these highlights and then it creates the captions, and the captions are the technology for the captions is so good. I rarely, if ever, have to correct it. And so from a half an hour video, can come up with 20 different highlight reels, little TikTok reels, Instagram reels, whatever you want to call it. And you just go in, you look at it, you go, I want to change the color. My branding colors is pink, hot pink. Okay, you change the branding colors. It's so much you can do with it, and it's free. And it saved me so much time, because you know how long it would take for me to take a video and to sit there and to listen to the whole thing and to go, oh, that's right, that's where it was. Okay. And the files that I would have to carry on my desktop or my, you know, my computer. So this is a resource that I use, and I show, and I teach all of my clients how to use it, because they can get really creative and they go, I didn't know I could post reels. I didn't know I could post TikTok. Yeah. Yeah. If you've already got the content.
Exactly. And that's the coolest part about all of this stuff, I think. I mean, there's maybe a lot of cool things and interesting things and some annoying things about AI and all that. I mean, I can get in. I'm on both sides of this, but on the one hand, I think what's really cool is tools like that, that again, it would have either taken you how many hours to do your own editing for that, to the point where it's absurd or unrealistic or just never going to happen. So many creators just give up on that avenue or that marketing platform or that, you know, that social media platform, because it's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze to do it yourself, to do all those cuts and to publish it. We only have so much time. Or you then have to spend an arm and a leg to get a company, an agency to do that for you, which was popping up a lot the last few years. I was seeing that people who were coming in and doing that kind of stuff. And they're charging thousands of dollars a month. So again, you got to be like, well, am I going to get a return on this? And that's at a certain level, for sure, it's totally worth it. But for a lot of people who might not be at that level yet, or they're still growing, still getting by, it just means that these opportunities, they don't have those same opportunities. And now with AI, the opportunity is now kind of opened. It's been opened up, and that the accessibility and the ability to get access to a new audience is now available to more people than ever before.
That's the beauty of it. And you know, I was in radio for 20 years, so I did a lot of editing, audio editing. But then after that, I went into video and video editing. So I know how to edit, and there's an intuition you have to have as well. Right? You have to know what is that juicy bit. You have to know what is like, where to start, where to stop, and then to render it. And all of that time. Now I can tell people, I can say, go to this website, throw up your long video that you did. You did a workshop for, I don't know, vegetarian eating, whatever. And I said, it cuts it up for you. So they don't have to be an expert in editing. They don't need to have any of those tools. And so it's just so beautiful. And there's so many things that are happening. And my understanding is that the incredible AI writing summit. Now let's tell people about this, because as a writer, as a fellow writer, I know I so appreciate AI and ChatGPT and all of the different tools that we use, but let's talk about this. This is happening in April, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So the ultimate AI writing summit, if we want to call it that, I think it will be.
Yes.
Is for authors, bloggers, writers, publishers, content creators, freelancers, professional writers, and anybody who writes anything. We're also like curating stuff and producing stuff for people who are just like, say, in university and writing essays and in a job and just writing reports. So we're kind of planting the flag at the intersection of just AI and writing. And saying, this is what we want to do. We want to come in here and educate and show people what you can do with the tool. And I believe it is just that, it's a tool. And in the writing space, there's a lot of, it's very polarizing. And I don't know that AI is that polarizing in every niche or genre or industry, but in writing, it's extremely polarizing. And so what I've noticed is that even some of the people that I reached out to, some really big names that were really receptive to the idea, told me they can't be on the summit for fear of the backlash they get from their audience. And that is very interesting and very strange, because it's just, there's a lot of like vitriol coming from certain groups around the use of AI.
Yeah.
And I do believe a lot of it is just, I don't believe it is like malicious per se. I think it's just, it's a response mechanism. And I think a lot of people think AI is one thing and it doesn't have to be that. Now, of course, when a new technology comes in to play, what happens? Immediately spammers get a hold of it. Marketers and spammers.
Yeah.
You know, so what is the first thing they do? They take any good technology and they make it so you just want to throw up, basically. It's like email when that first came out.
Yeah.
It was nothing but spam.
Yes.
And so with AI and writing, what do you see? Oh, you see like mass produced books on Kindle and the quality is terrible. And you realize, oh, because things can be so much easier and so much faster, the default then for those types of people is, well, let's just do this as easily and quickly as possible. And basically that spam tactic. I think that'll weed itself out over time. Like, I just think that always does. I don't think those types of people ever last when any new tech comes to market.
Yeah.
And I think once we get through that, my whole goal with this summit is to demystify AI and writing. Like, how do we actually come at it? Where is it useful? Where is it just hype? And where is it dangerous in any location or spot? Like, we have people coming on to talk the legal elements of this, the ethical elements, and then of course the creative elements. And so there's a lot we're trying to cover here, but I'm very excited to bring it, you know, share it with the world.
And this is, from my understanding, it's April 8th to the 12th, the AI Writing Summit. And make sure, for those who want to, it's absolutely free to attend. Yep. We'll have links in the show notes, so you just click on the link and get your ticket. I highly advise you. I'm also going to be participating as a content creator. Yes. I don't know what day, but we will be one of those days, and I'm very excited about it, because also the folks behind InfoStack, you guys are amazing, and you are one of the few people that I work with, that I look forward to working with. And supplying content I've supplied content for a couple of other bundles that we've had. Amazing offers to people. People get so much great content and resources and tools from the bundles, from the InfoStack stacks. And so when I heard about this, I was like, oh yeah, I'll raise my hand. I would love to. And we'll have a link in the show notes. We'll have a link for you to sign up for that. It's the AI Writing Summit. Going back to the negative aspect, because I've spoken about ChatGPT and AI in general before, and that always comes up. The thing always comes up of, people are using ChatGPT to just write whole books, right? And I always say, but yeah, okay, but first of all, is it a good book? Okay.
Right.
There are plenty of people. There are plenty. It's just like really good authors sometimes make horrible speakers. Like, you can't interview some authors. You ask them a question, they're like, yes. One answer, one word answer, right? But the same thing is that just because you have these tools does not make it. A good writer has the reader in mind. Okay. And so it's not just spitting out words. But the other thing is because they've asked me, they said, well, do you use ChatGPT? Do you use AI in with your writing? And I say, yes, I do. But I do the thing of, I already have the content and I put it through the system and ask it to make it better. But you have to give it parameters. Everything with ChatGPT is how you feed it. Right? How you guide it. If you just say, if you just throw in a bunch of gobbledygook and you say, make this a chapter, make it sound like Ernest Hemingway. Well, okay, it'll do that. It'll make it sound like Ernest Hemingway who wrote it. But the idea is to feed it up appropriately and to guide it. And that's the most important thing is to, I've done it before where I've had a paragraph that I was like, something's missing. and I can't see it. And I wrote it, but I can't see it. So I'll throw it in and I'll say, can you take this and make it a little, add a little bit of spice to it, or add a little bit of humor to it? Or can you switch it around so that it's more powerful, more impactful? And sometimes ChatGPT puts out junk. It'll lie to you anyway. So sometimes it'll come back and you go, oh, that is horrible. And I'll even say it. I'll tell it to ChatGPT. I'll say, that really sucked.
Oh, yeah. You have to. You have to train the model.
You have to train the model. Exactly. Exactly. But when you're, especially if you're writing for a targeted audience or a targeted market, you can get really precise and have also some words that you would never have thought of. You know, you'd like searching in your brain for what is the right word? What is the right phrase? What is the right word? What is the right phrase? Yeah. And it'll spit out a couple different examples and you'll go, I like this part of this, but not that, not the whole thing. So you can use it as a tool, but not as your, I would never, ever just use it as my creator machine.
No, I it's not there. And I don't know when or if it will be there. And my whole, I guess, thesis statement is that I believe it's a tool that can augment what we do and help us do, write better, write faster, write more, and increase the quality of what we do, because it can be used in that capacity. I understand right now the capacity in which people are using it, or presumably that people are using it, or that is somehow reaching the public, is the spam element of it. It's the, let's produce garbage content at a rapid rate. But I don't believe that that is the primary use case of it. I think, and I do believe that that will kind of work itself out in time. And then what we'll see is just more competent people using the tool more competently, and then being able to do maybe 3x, 5x, 10x what they were able to do in terms of output than they ever could before. And not to mention, and this is not talked about a lot, and I get it, I understand why, but there's an accessibility component to this that, like, you can stick your nose up and say, well, if you're not a good writer, you shouldn't be able to write. And that was almost like the challenge to generative AI. It's like, you're going to have a machine do it for you. It's like, well, what about the person who's dyslexic? Or what about the person with this, you know, this or that disability, or they have these challenges or these issues, or they're blind or whatever, right? There's a million things that people have these types of challenges. And now AI tools like ChatGPT and others, especially with ChatGPT's like audio component, where you can just talk to it, and then all of a sudden you have this assistant that through just your voice alone could help you write a book, and then clean it up and help you edit it, and then get it to the finish line. And so the accessibility here is, it's like what's the opposite of like the elephant in the room? It's just like, it's the mouse in the corner, or I don't know, that nobody wants to talk about, but is, I think, a really important, and it does tie back to what we were talking about before, which is the idea of, even the example you gave, Christine, where you're using this tool to help you splice up videos and post them. It's, again, something that you wouldn't have had access to before. Presumably.
It's not making up the videos for me. It's, yeah. I've already done the work. All I'm doing is just saying, right. It's like hiring an editor and saying, yes, please just look through all this footage and find something juicy. Yeah.
And on that, I know another argument that people make is that, well, this will take away their jobs, like the audio narration. So Amazon now has that tool built in where
you couldn't afford an editor.
Exactly. Thank you.
Who's going to afford $1,000 a week or whatever for this? Yeah, no.
And the people that could afford it are still going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And they're still going to pay for the quality. I mean, I think most, if anything, maybe, but it's like, what it does is it just means the person who is never going to be able to afford this is now able to actually produce something and to use a tool because it's cheap or cost effective to now produce that outcome. It doesn't, no job was lost from that, in my opinion. I do believe that mediocre to poor work from freelancers, AI is a threat to them. Like, AI is a threat to the real bottom of the barrel Fiverr, commodity services. That where there's, and I'm not saying everybody on Fiverr, I get tons of stuff from Fiverr that's really high quality. But you just know there's a bottom of the barrel group on Fiverr for anything, design, whatever it is. And sometimes you're like, oh, maybe I'll explore this. I'll put $5 over here, or $20 here. And you're like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done this. But like those people are maybe more in threat of losing their jobs. But in reality, what they should be doing is they should be leveraging these tools and then getting better at what they do and charge more. You know, I feel like that's the future. Yes.
And let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know, what has helped this explosion in creativity and content creation and writing and all of that was COVID. We didn't know what the was going to happen. So we were all in lockdown. You couldn't travel. You didn't know what was going on. You lost your job. You were underemployed. You got less hours and people were at home. And we are creative beings, right? We are not meant to sit on the couch and eat bonbons. Maybe in the beginning we did. And we cried and we were like, what the hell's going on? And we drank lots of wine. And I know I've gained a few pounds, but we had time on our hands and we didn't just sit around and just watch television. We were like, oh, you know what? I got a family to feed. And what if I never get my job back? Because they were letting people go like left and right. Didn't matter if you were in the company for 25 years, whatever, right? So people had to get creative and they had to pivot and they had to go, I had a brick and mortar business and now I'm, you know, my business did extremely well during COVID because I'm online.
Yep.
And I help people create podcasts to promote their business or, you know, working on social media and things like that. So everybody, all of a sudden, people were like, oh my gosh, I need to create a website. I need to create, you know. So there was a renaissance, but it was out of a tragedy, a renaissance happened. And so out of that also birthed all of these different things, because all of a sudden we're finding ourselves as entrepreneurs and business owners. Well, I'm really good at what I do, but heck, I'm not a publicist. I'm not an editor. I'm not a videographer. I got to work about social media and marketing, and I got to be, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that and take care of the kids. No. So we have these tools that you can continue to be the best, whatever you are, poet, gardener, plumber. We have these tools so that you can keep doing what you do best. And then these other things are going to help let people know that you exist. And that's the thing. That's the whole thing. We have a renaissance of small businesses and people starting their own businesses and companies because of what happened. We're still in trauma. We're still PTSD'd about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could you not be? And the fallout from all that. But I agree. It's like, now we have these interesting tools. And I was the same way. I was online as well. So, excuse me. So I wasn't negatively affected like some people were. And I also saw that as an opportunity. I remember just thinking when that was happening, I'm like, oh, I got to double down right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to get after this real aggressively. So that worked out really well for us. But yeah, it's just now with this, the advent of these tools, I just think it's now more accessible to anyone else who wants to create in any capacity. So I think what's going to happen too, is like, when you think about that, there's the effect of, there's going to be more content than ever. Yes, in some capacity, there's going to be more bad content than ever before too, because of that. It's just the nature of like volume. But I think there's a huge opportunity for people to, and for speakers, creators, anyone with a voice, podcasters, bloggers, whatever, for the human element to come through and actually let your voice shine through, because people resonate with that through the noise of it all. So I just think don't like lose your soul on it or like, you know, sell that out. And try to produce all your content with AI. Like, I think that would be a bad move. And I think Google's, as of this recording, I believe they're about to drop the hammer on AI-related content. So anybody who's kind of been doing that game for the last 6 to 12 months, I think is going to get hurt. And those kind of changes, you didn't know it. I mean, come on, could you not have predicted that was going to come down the pipeline? But again, you know, everybody's got different goals and different approaches. Yes. But it seemed like that was maybe apparently going to happen, but people still went with it. And I think they're going to be hurt a little bit by it. But we'll see what happens.
We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't wait till what's going on. And I can't wait for this summit because folks, again, it's going to be April 8th to the 12th. It's absolutely free. It's the AI writing, the ultimate AI writing summit. And it's not just for writers. It's for creators, content creators, just like yourself. And if you're curious, not only to find out about some of the stuff that Tom and I have been talking about, but really stuff, because I'm excited about it, because I'm investing my time to be there and to learn, because I want to know about all those tools that are available that I haven't a clue about, because new stuff comes out every single day. And it might be that one tool that you really have been looking for, you didn't even know you really needed. It could be right there. It could already be there helping people and you don't know about it. So we'll make sure we put a link in the show notes. And Tom, thank you so much. You're a wonderful guest, and you're welcome back on the show anytime. So if you've got something you're promoting, you got a new book, please come back on the show. I would love to have you on.
Christine, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My guest has been Tom Morkis. And if you want more information, you can go to his website. Yes. And it's Tom Morkis. It's very simple. TOMMORKES.com. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And as always, I want to thank you wonderful listeners and viewers. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you so much. And our listeners on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the regular platforms, thank you so much again for tuning in. And as I always say at the end of every show, make sure that you think outside of that damn box. And especially that box that says ChatGPT and AI is bad and evil and it's the Terminator. No, it's your savior. It's going to help you. All right. Until next time, take care, love. Bye.